Good morning. No BS. Welcome to Ask Me Anything. I am your host today, Coach Kathy. Very honored, happy to be subbing in for the amazing Coach MJ, who is off today. She is visiting with her daughter today, which I think is lovely. So this is a Q&A. Ask Me Anything. Y'all know I am an open book. So, anything you want to know about my journey, my experience in No BS, what I know about what's going on in the membership right now, anything is fair game. You just post it in that Q&A box at the bottom of your screen. Okay. I will see the chat scroll by, but it's going to be fast and I will not be able to keep up. So, if you have a question, make sure you put it in the Q&A box. Okay. Q&A. And if you're talking to your friends in the chat, that's amazing. Make sure you're talking to everyone. Set your chat box to everyone. Because if it's just a host and panelists, I'm the only one who will see it, and I probably won't see it. Okay? Now, real quick, I want to talk about this 10 pounds down by New Year's challenge. I think this is genius. Okay? First of all, how much drama has come up when we've said 10 pounds down? Right? I don't know if I can do it. 10 pounds is a lot. What if I fail? Here's what I want you to know. 10 pounds is an amazing, doable goal for 9 weeks. Okay? Amazing, doable goal. But let me ask you this. Let's say you lose 6. Did you fail? I'm thinking it's a no, right? I'm thinking it's a no. Set the goal, focus on the actions, do your best. And weight loss through the holidays? Who doesn't want that, right? Who doesn't want weight loss through the holidays or maintenance through the holidays? So here's what I want you to do. If you have not visited the Lose 10 course page, Lose 10 pounds down by New Year's without skipping cookies, wine, or parties, I'm going to put the link in the Q&A. I mean, sorry, in the chat. I want you to go here and I want you to take a look. And if you have not done the workshop, I want you to do that first. Here's what the guide looks like. Yes, I print in black and white. Okay. Has Corinne's beautiful face on the front, 10 pounds down by New Year's. The guide is in two parts. The first 22 pages are for the workshop, which is module one of the course, right? Then when you finish that piece, if you're ready for more, Module two has 9 lessons. You can take one per week. You can do them all at once, whatever suits you. That's the second part of the workbook. Looks like this. Lose 10 pounds by New Year's. Starts on about page 23 and goes through the rest of the workbook. It's genius, y'all. I was on the call on Sunday and it was so good. So good. So you can go to the course page and you can listen, watch Corinne, watch the coaching. Watch the lessons. You can catch them in your private member podcast. Okay. Last thing I want to talk about, as with some of these things that we've been doing lately, we've got some text messages you can sign up for. Here's the difference. These are not daily text messages. Okay. Corinne says they will come randomly. These are her words. So I can keep you on your toes. And most texts will come around the holidays to make sure you've got me in your back pocket. Who doesn't need Corinne in their back pocket during the holidays? I do. I'm sure all of you all would like to have a little Corinne inspiration right when you need it. So they might not be every day. In fact, they're not going to be every day, and that's okay. They're going to be exactly when we need them, randomly and clustered around the holidays. Okay? So, if you see any confusion around that, feel free to mention what I said, okay? Randomly and around the holidays. Corinne in your back pocket, not daily any, not daily this time, okay? All right. So, you can sign up for those text messages on that page. I'll put the link one more time here in the chat. You can also find it by going on the website to the courses menu. To lose 10 pounds by New Year's. Okay? Everybody good? Everybody got it? All right. Let's work on some Q&A. Let me get my screen cleaned up and we will get to the Q&A. I see some hands raised. This is not coaching today, you all. This is Q&A. So if you have a question that I can answer for you, please put it in the Q&A box at the bottom of your screen. Okay. First question. Valerie says, "Hi, Kathy. I don't know if I've ever heard your story with No BS. I'd love to hear more." Girl, how much time you got? Okay, I'll see if I can give you the short version. Let's see, I have two boys. The oldest is 35 now, and in December 1st of 2012, he married his sweetheart. She was one of eight kids. Okay, I knew the babies were going to come hard and fast. At that moment, I weighed 230 pounds. Fast forward just about a month, and I'm at a church retreat for the Happy Healthy Holy Ladies at St. Edward Church in Nashville. And the keynote speakers were our parish priest and Corinne. Not even joking. Keynote speakers, a priest and Corinne. It's the first time I ever heard her speak. And she made sense. She said the same things that she says now. You're important too. You need to care for yourself so you can care for others. How are you showing up for yourself? Why are you eating before you're hungry? How can you plan in a better way? Are you getting your sleep and water? She said all those things. And I came home that day, and let's just be honest, at that time, I think it was 47 or so, 47, I think. I had been on Weight Watchers at least five times. I had tried all the things. Did she speak without swearing? I'm sure she did because the priest was there. I had tried all the things. I was resigned to the fact that I just came from a family of people who were overweight. It was my heredity, it was my destiny. I was just going to be overweight too. And then I heard her speak and I thought, maybe not. Maybe I will try one more time. So I came home. And I like to say it this way. I sat across from my husband. He was on the couch. I sat on the very sturdy coffee table and said, "I want to try this one more time. I met this girl today who makes a lot of sense, and here's what she said." But the key thing I said after that was, "This doesn't have anything to do with you. If you don't like what I fix, you are welcome to go to Taco Bell and get what you want." And he did. After about 6 months, I had lost a little bit of weight, maybe 20 or 30 pounds. Corinne, at the time, was also a trainer. And so she opened this mini beginners boot camp for the summer. So she actually trained me. She taught me how to do a push-up. She taught me how to squat to a bench. I had never exercised. I didn't know those things. She taught me form. And by about 3 months after that, I was doing workouts at home that she had written. Okay. Now, remember, y'all, this is 2013. Okay. We're talking 12 years ago. And so I invited Ken one time, my husband, one time to do the workouts with me. I said, you want to do this? It's kind of fun. Y'all, he couldn't keep up. He could not keep up. He said, "If I'm gonna wear the pants around the house, I might need to do something too." And so by the end of about 18 months, I had lost 80 pounds. He had lost 65, and we were training for a half marathon. That's what happens when you go up all in. When you go all in and you show up for yourself, regardless of whoever is around and what they're thinking or doing, you do the things, you get the results, right? So shortly after that, and Corinne and I are still talking because she's local, right? We talk, I don't know, we talked a lot. We talked every day or so for a while. I ended up helping her a little bit in the business, kind of doing some back-end things. Fast forward a couple of years, she started teaching me how to coach because she was coaching me. And about 2019, I decided to leave my job, my very stable government job, decide to retire and come to work for her full time. It was around 2000, what'd I say, 19? Just before, a year before COVID. And it was the best decision I had ever made. I feel like every moment of my life had led me to that decision. I had figured out how to lose weight. I had figured out how to keep it off. I had figured out how to work with my brain to get all the BS thinking under control. It doesn't ever go away, y'all. I can promise you that. Get it under control. Learn how to ping pong it. Learn how to answer it. Learn how to show up despite the thinking. And then here I am. Then there's more to the story. Okay. I started coaching for Corinne. She saw the value of what I knew about the business. She pulled me out of coaching and I started doing work on the back end. I did some work for the marketing team. I did some project management. I did some content work. I did a lot of work on the backside of no BS, the support of no BS that you don't necessarily see. You see the results of all the efforts of we have of all those people that are on the backside, like Yasmin writing content and Missy posting calls and marketing, helping members, helping new members know what to do. I was doing that kind of work. And it didn't really fit who I was. And I was getting very stressed and very upset. And Corinne saw this. So about 2.5 years ago, we had three coaches that had to leave at one time. They had family struggles or personal struggles or some Yesenia, who's in the business membership, was a weight loss coach that moved over to business. And Corinne and I met on Zoom, and she said, "Have you thought about going back to coaching?" She said, "My biggest regret is pulling you out of coaching." And I said, "Girl, not only have I thought about it, I was going to ask you if now's the time." So here I come back to coaching, back to being with you. A few months later, I got diagnosed with breast cancer. And I had to deal with a kidney stone and a septic infection. And all of that happening at that time indicated to me I was in the right place, had done the right work, and was preparing me with experience to help you. And then nervous system training came. MJ wrote me a Slack one day and she goes, "You need to check out this girl." And I went and I looked at Leah Davidson's website and I said, "Oh, I need this training." And that's how it works. It's really fun, you all, to live your life with purpose and to live it with intention and to follow those prompts that you're given that help you kind of define who you are and help you kind of define the person that you want to be. Last part of the story is through the breast cancer treatment and the hormone therapy, I started putting back weight, putting on weight again. And about April of this year, when I was at all my oncology appointments, I said, "Y'all, we have to do something. I do not want to keep gaining weight. Something, my body is not responding well to this hormone treatment or something. I need a nutritionist. I need something to help me figure out how to keep the kidney stones away, how to manage the breast cancer medication, how to do all that." And they said, "Oh, we're going to refer you over to the medical weight loss clinic." So all of this is within the Vanderbilt system. So I started the GLP-1. And I want to tell you that for those of you who are considering it, those of you who are on it, there is no shame in that game. Okay? There are some of us who require blood pressure medicine. So we take blood pressure medicine. There are some of us who require cholesterol medicine or insulin or thyroid meds. We give ourselves that medication, right? And then there's some of us that need the help of a GLP-1 because our bodies don't process in the same way. So I started the GLP-1 in April and have had weight loss return. That's not to say the drugs are creating the weight loss because I still have to do all the work on my nervous system, all the work on my stress eating, all the work on hunger and enough. And I'm selecting the foods that promote health for me. Because after kidney stones and breast cancer and sepsis, I want to be the healthiest person I can be. And so I create the protocol that I'm on, and I show up with my actions, with my hunger, enough planning, sleep, water, basic human needs to support that protocol. And that's the message that I want you to hear. Whatever weight loss protocol you have chosen, your actions have to support that. Whether it's hunger, enough, basic human needs, planning, assessing, discovery worksheets. You have to stay present without judging in order to make sure that your assessments give you the information you need to pivot. So that's my story. I hope that helps. I'm an open book. If you ever have any questions about that, just holler at me. Okay. All right. Now let's talk about y'all. That was longer than I intended it to be. Let's talk about y'all. Andrea says, I'm struggling with not turning to food when I'm needing comfort and to relax after a crazy weekend with grandbabies. Girl, whew, I kept my two littlest ones a couple weekends ago and I was exhausted. So I get it. I get so angry with my husband for not helping me and frustrated with my son and daughter-in-law for their terrible parenting and disgusting living conditions. I just want to dive into a huge container of ice cream. Andrea, your husband, your son, your daughter-in-law, they're living their own lives. Just like me was telling Ken he can go to Taco Bell, you got to let them live their lives. You decide how you show up. And if you are showing up the way you want for these grandbabies, providing what you want to provide for them, then you know that you have fulfilled what is required of you. This, and that's where you can start to draw your comfort from. Okay. But when your nervous system gets hyped up and you get agitated, your brain is going to say, we need ice cream. It's up to you to say, all right, before ice cream, I'm going to try something else. I'm going to try something else. So when I had a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old for 4 days, I was exhausted. And I'm okay with how my son and daughter-in-law keep their house and stuff. I keep mine cleaner than them, but it's a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. It's hard to keep crumbs out of the floor, right? Anyway, comfort and relaxation can be achieved in other ways. A hot shower, a warm blanket. I put my coffee mug away, but a warm, I think it was Jean I saw somewhere who said she likes to drink warm broth, chicken broth. I love chicken broth. I'd never thought of that. What a great replacement for hot tea, which I don't like. Time to yourself, time in the quiet, reading a book. How can you, if food, here's the question I want you to ask yourself, Andrea. If food was not available, if ice cream was not available, how would you relax? Okay. That's what you start with. And then, maybe you tell yourself, I'm going to try this for a few minutes and see if I can calm myself before I hit the ice cream. All right. That's what I want you to try. Okay, Anonymous says, I'm struggling to keep all the balls in the air. So much going on, I'm exhausted at the end of each day. Any suggestions for finding time to care for ourselves in a world that drags you in 10 directions at once? Yes. I like to think of rest as a savings account. Okay? If you make 5 or 10 minute deposits every day into your savings account, then you have something to draw from by the end of the day. Okay. So if you're giving yourself 5 or 10 minute periods of rest, micro moments, not even, I'm not talking about, a 30 minute nap. I'm talking about just a couple of minutes. You are giving your system an opportunity to recharge so that it is not on the empty at the end of the day. It's like you're topping off your gas tank all the way through the day, your energy gas tank all the way through the day, so that you have something to draw from at the end of the day. I do this. Girl, I'd love to take a nap too. I don't have time for a nap. But when I have 10 minutes, I go outside and I take a quick walk. I look at the sky, the blue sky. I feel the sunshine on my face. I take a deep breath, and that always helps me to come back and show up better for you, show up better for me. so I can show up better for you. So those are my suggestions. Don't power through. Give yourself, like, you have to get up and go to the bathroom, right? Use that as your break. I have a client right now who's just gone back, a private client who's just gone back to work after having a baby last spring. And her micro moments are to, when she goes to the bathroom, she takes three deep breaths. When she goes to the pumping room to pump her breast milk, she meditates. She has found a way to create these micro moments of time throughout her very busy day because she works all day, then has to commute home, then has to pick up the kids, then has to take care of the kids. You know, she's going from the minute she gets up in the morning till the kids go to bed at night. But because she's found these micro moments of time, she's able to save up some of those energy stores so that when she needs them later at night, she's not face down somewhere. So that's my suggestion to you, Anonymous. Let me know how it works. Diane, I almost raised my hand last night, but we ran out of time. I have some nervous system humming from time to time. Girl, we all do. That's just normal, okay? I've tried to get to home base and various methods have worked, but I want to know how important it is to get to the root cause. I think that might help me identify what I really need, but maybe not. What do you think? Yes. Getting to the root cause of whatever the humming is about is always going to help. So it's almost like you have a band-aid and you have a cure. The cure is getting to the root cause so that you can manage whatever thinking is going on that's creating the humming. Okay, now sometimes the humming is created by thinking, and sometimes it's created by something environmental, like a startle effect or a perception of danger. Okay, if yours is something you're thinking or situational that you can manage, getting to that root cause and tempering how you respond to that root cause is going to actually decrease the humming, as you call it, the effect, the up and down of your nervous system. The band-aid piece, which is not a bad piece, is learning how to manage when your nervous system is out of whack. Okay? And it sounds like you have various methods that work for that. Okay, whether it's breathing or walking or meditating or journaling or whatever those might be. Okay. So, yes, root cause, getting to that. We do this in Ask Coaches all the time. People will write in and go, why are they asking me questions instead of telling me what to do? It's because if we help you find the root cause of your overeating and we help you solve for that, guess what? The overeating decreases. But if we just say, oh, stop eating or just eat to enough, figure it out, then that we haven't helped you. So Diane is all about root cause, girl. If you need help finding it, write us and ask coaches and let's poke at it a little bit. Okay. Lisa wants to know if you will get texts here in Canada. That is a really great question that I am not certain of the answer of. I want you to write to support and ask them. support@pnptribe.com. I don't want to give you bad information. If somebody from Canada is on the call and can answer, or in the chat and can answer that, that's great. But write to support, okay? In the 10-pound challenge, please talk more about us that are in maintenance. Oh, perfect. I love that you asked this, Darlene. So what would be if, I think I saw you in the chat. If 10 pounds down is not your goal, what would be your goal? You can make it to maintain throughout the next 2 months through the holidays. You can actually make it an action-oriented goal. I'm going to stop at enough at dinner 6 out of 7 days of the week. Or I'm going to assess my plans. I'm watching the chat to see if I can see you come in. I'm going to assess what I ate and every day, 7 out of 7 days. I'm going to increase my water by 8 ounces every day for the first week and 10 ounces every day for the second week. Darlene says she's doing great at maintaining at the high end of range. So is that what your goal is going to be? Do you want to continue maintaining at the high end of your range? I mean, she wants to get 4 pounds lower. So maybe your goal is 4 pounds. Lose 4 pounds and maintain that. See, the 10 pounds, 10 pounds, saying 10 pounds gets you thinking, doesn't it? Gets you thinking, is that for me? Is that doable? Is that what I want to do? And then you can set your own goal. Corinne talks about this in the actual workshop. She talks about it, I think the goal one was the second lesson. She talks about customizing the goal. For me, I'm going all in on a lose 10. Why not? Right? I'm still above my maintenance range. Thank you, breast cancer medication. And then maybe I'll determine my new maintenance range. That sounds good. So I think that's what you do. You decide what your goal is going to be. Then you support it with the actions that you want to take. Okay. Emma says, what is a good alternative to hand over heart as it doesn't do much for me? I love that you asked this, Emma, because not every nervous system technique is for everyone. If you like doing that, I can suggest butterfly tapping. So you hook your thumbs like this, hook your thumbs, put your fingers out like wings. If you're listening on the replay, and put them right here on the top of your chest and tap your hands back and forth. Anything that is bilateral, both sides, like walking or butterfly tapping or hearing things out of both ears, is going to help activate both sides of your brain, which is also very reassuring. So you can try that. You can also try just journaling, just talking to yourself, maybe speaking to yourself out loud. When I talk about hand on heart, a lot of times I'll be saying, put your hand on your heart, press in, and say, I'm safe. I can figure this out. There's no danger here. Maybe you just don't do the hand on your heart. Maybe you just talk to yourself in a soothing and calming way. The other thing, Emma, that you might try is breathing techniques. So there's box breathing, which is breathe in to the count of four, hold for four, out to four, hold for four. That kind of puts your focus on your breath and gets you out of your head a little bit. There's also, I like to call it, if you're above home base, if you're feeling very anxious or upset, you want to breathe in, hold, and then breathe out like this. Long and loud, push it out. Okay. Longer exhales than inhales. And then the reverse, if you are below home base, you'll want to breathe in longer than you breathe out. So you might try some different breathing techniques to see if that helps. And I am always going to suggest some kind of meditation. It can be guided, it can be with headphones in, it can be in silence. It can be counting, you remember old counting sheep? That's meditation, y'all. When we're trying to go to bed at night and our parents told us to count sheep, that's meditation. And the effects of meditation, if you meditate in the morning, the effects will last all day long. It's like exercise for your brain. You're teaching your brain how to focus on what's important to you. So try those things. If those still don't help you, hit me up and ask coaches, and we'll come up with some other things. But what I want you to recognize is what you do automatically that helps you feel better. Okay. There's something we all do. It might be eating, it might be something else that already creates safety for us. What is that? Okay. I better go faster. Y'all have a lot of questions. I feel like I've been messing around with the same damn 10 pounds for a year. I'm so depressed about it. It's like I cannot get past this. I'm getting more and more depressed and angry at the scale, and I feel like I'm irritating coaches by asking the same crap. You are never irritating us. Never, ever, Amanda. Okay? What I can tell you is you're doing a really good job at maintenance. Okay? So if you decided this was maintenance, you'd know exactly what to do. So, what I want you to think about is if this is not maintenance, if you want to lose a few more pounds, where's the level up? So, what I want you to do is I want you to track hunger and enough at every meal for the next week. And then I want you to come to Ask Coaches. And I want you to tell us what kind of food you're eating, where, with the percentage of meal, percentage of times you ate when you were hungry for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and the percentage that you ate, that you stopped at enough for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. If you come back with hundreds on all those, then we're going to know your signals are not quite right. If you come back with 85% on everything but dinner and it's 50%, we're going to know where to target your next steps. Okay? So give us some really good, strong data and we can help you work through it. And hear me say this again, you are never irritating us. It is our job, it is our purpose, it is our desire to help you figure this out. Okay? All right. Got it. I can do that. Oh, excellent. We'll be watching for you, Amanda. Anonymous says, I love a good large dessert. Girl, who doesn't? Really difficult to fit in dessert at all, as my enough is not very much. Is it not a good idea to have dessert for dinner? Probably won't have as good a workout the next morning running on dessert. True and true. Yeah. Just really enjoy a satisfying dessert. Cannot think of any other reason why dessert is a thing for me in my thoughts, way more than food. Nothing wrong with having dessert for dinner. Nothing. Okay. But I do want you to recognize how it makes you feel. Okay. I also love a good large dessert. Okay. But I don't do that every day because I know the next day my body's going to be achy. I'm going to feel kind of yucky in my stomach. I'm not going to have a lot of energy. But I'm going to promise you on my birthday, I'm probably going to have dessert for dinner. And it might be red velvet cheesecake, let's just say. Okay. Because my enough isn't very large either. And, special occasions like that, maybe I want to have, something that's going to make me not feel so good. I don't know. But I get to decide, and so do you. Weight loss happens between hunger and enough. So if you decide you're going to have a big piece of cake for dinner, go for it. Just make sure you like your decision, which is fine. And, get back on track. I don't want to say back on track. Eat something nourishing the next day to help with that. Okay? Nothing wrong with it. Do it. With daylight savings being so dark, I have sad and very depressed. I think I'm doing all the things, but I can't lose 2 pounds to get to my next goal. Candy challenge made me eat more candy than usual. No, the candy challenge did not make you eat more candy than usual. No. You ate more candy than usual. It did make you do it. Candy challenge was not sitting there throwing food in your mouth, just saying. So I'm thinking the answer is to quit no BS again. Oh my gosh. No, the answer is not to quit. The desire to quit is as a result of the depression you feel because of the seasonal affective disorder, the dark, and the 2 pounds. That's all. Okay. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to buy a sun lamp. I want you to get out in the morning and lift your face to the sun. The more you can get the vitamin D into your system, the better you're going to feel. I had a client, a private client last winter in Winnipeg, Canada. I'm going to tell you, she had a sun lamp in every room. No, that's an exaggeration. She had three sun lamps in the three rooms that she spent the most time in. Because up there, way up there in the Winnipeg in Canada, they don't have a lot of sunshine. They have a lot of snow. So wrap yourself in what you need. Sunlight is a basic human need in my book. It might not be a no BS, but to me, it's a basic human need. And if you can't get it naturally because you don't have enough sunlight, buy a sun lamp. Okay, treat that seasonal affective disorder. Take some vitamin D, talk to your doctor, whatever it is, and see if that doesn't elevate your mood and give you more of more ability to set a goal and to work on your action steps toward it. Okay? That's what I want you to do. No quitting, Anonymous, because the time changed. It's interesting. I love this time. Okay, I might be a unicorn, I might be crazy, but I love this time of year because when I'm finished with work, guess what I get to do? I get to put on my PJs and wash my face and sit under a warm blanket next to the fire. I love that. But I get my sunshine during the day. I get my sunlight out. I go for a quick walk first thing in the morning to get my sunshine. And that's just what I do. I do not have suggestions for a sun lamp. Maybe somebody here does. I think I'd just research it and check reviews. I wouldn't make it too hard. Okay. All right. Gotta keep going. Can you give me lots of things to say to myself as I'm about to eat when I'm not hungry, when the food doesn't help my wise, when the food isn't on my plan, and when I'm just going to eat it anyway? Why are you just going to eat it anyway? You just had the things to say to yourself. It's not on my plan. It doesn't help my wise. It doesn't make me feel better. What would make me feel better? Maybe this is where you ask yourself, what's my unmet need? If it's not food, what is it? Is it self-compassion? Is it a little bit of happy? Is it wrapping up in a warm blanket? What is the unmet need? Because if you're not hungry, it's not food. So maybe that's what you ask yourself. Ollie says, please explain your all in. I'm thinking you're asking about my story. It just meant I decided to trust Corinne and what she was teaching and put into action what she told me to do. That's it. I will say I am not much of a deep diver. I don't listen to every call. I don't work every course. I work the things and do the things that I think are going to impact me. So I make a plan. I take care of my basic human needs. I do hunger and enough. And I am doing the holiday course because I really want to focus in on the holidays this year. But every course is not for me, and that's okay. So I decide what I need, and then I do that work. And I do that study and I practice and experiment and pivot. That's what all in means to me. Determined. Even though I know the plans are kind of opposite, I'm still a Weight Watcher member, mainly because I find their online workshops beneficial. Do you think it's possible to get benefits from both? And if not, why? Well, it's hard for me to answer that, Anonymous, because I'm not a Weight Watcher member. But what I will say is, if they are teaching you to be intuitive, or they are teaching you how to nourish your body in ways similar to what Corinne teaches, then I think it's fine. I think there are other people who maintain their Weight Watcher memberships, not so much so that they can count, but so they feel local support. I think that's fine. I think the beautiful thing about this program is that it allows you to find the path that works for you. The only thing I would say is to make sure whatever you're doing is something that you don't mind doing until you're 85, 90 years old. Okay? Just make sure that the way you lose weight is the way you intend to live the rest of your life. That's the most important thing. Okay? Alicia, I'm struggling with feeling frustrated, like I'm never going to be able to make no BS work for me. I feel like I need more willpower to make myself do anything in the moments of binging and overeating. I feel lost. And I need a small win or something to get me going. Any ideas? If you are binging and overeating, here's where your win's gonna be. You ready? Write this down. It's in analyzing why you binged or why you overate and going after the root cause. Okay, so let's say you binged yesterday because work was a shit show. All right, work is not the problem. It's how you thought about work that was the problem that created the binge. You might have been saying things like, I'll never get this. This isn't for me. I'm not smart enough. I'm not good enough. You're talking about yourself in a way that doesn't feel good. So the binge comes to distract you from how you're talking about yourself or about whatever is stressing you. So that's where the win is. The win is not in stopping binging. The win is looking at the root cause of the binge or the overeat and working on that information. Okay? So, and that's how we can help you in Ask Coaches or in private coaching or in the Facebook group. That's how you can support each other, looking for that root cause. Okay? The other way I would look at wins is those small micro wins. Like, did you get to bed on time? Did you brush your teeth before you went to bed? Did you get your water in? Did you make a plan? Did you assess your plan? Start looking at those small action steps, ways that you did show up for yourself, and recognize those as well. Okay? Would you say that someone who is obese but has good labs should consider GLP-1? I'm not going there, Anonymous. That is a question between you and your doctor based on your medical history and your medical diagnoses. That's what is so important about GLP-1s, is that you have spoken to your doctor and you have gotten their input as to what is necessary for your body to be healthy. Okay, that's all I got to say about that. I know all the things that don't feel good in my body, but I just can't stop eating them. Why not, Anonymous? If you can stop eating them, because I bet you're not eating right now. Okay? So don't tell yourself you can't stop eating them. What happens with a lot of these foods, especially these ultra-processed foods, the food industry has hosed us, y'all. Have y'all ever heard Corinne talk about this? The food industry in the United States has managed to create engineer foods, especially highly processed foods and candies, to light us up so we want more. So if you go into eating these foods that don't feel good in your body, knowing that this is probably going to light me up to want more, then you're ahead of the game. You can either control the amount and walk away, or you can not eat whatever it is that's going to light you up. The candy challenge taught us how to control the amount we ate. Okay? So that's what I would do. I would take what you learned from the candy challenge or the instructions from the candy challenge and apply it in different ways as you go forward to some of these foods that you don't feel like you can stop eating. Okay? Alyssa, I keep doing the same thing over and over. I do well for a couple of weeks, then I just revert back to my old self. I don't know how to break this habit. This is hard for me to answer because I don't know what the things are. The best way, I'm gonna refer you to a book, Alyssa. James Clear wrote a book called Atomic Habits. I was looking at my bookshelf to see if it was up there. It's probably on this bookshelf. Yep, it's on the one over here. He says the best way to work on a habit is to interrupt the habit. So what I want you to do is I want you to think through the entire habit cycle. What triggers the habit? What do you do? Why do you keep doing it? And how does it stop? And what does that habit cycle look like? And figure out a way to interrupt the habit. A good example would be if you are a person who eats at night while you're watching TV. And you always eat in the same chair. You have an eating chair. Pick somewhere else to sit and see if that doesn't interrupt the habit. Decide to eat something different. See if that doesn't interrupt the habit. Don't watch TV. Read a book. See if that interrupts the habit. Okay, try a pattern interrupt and see how that works for you. Rosie, hi, Kathy. Is there a daily routine you follow to help you keep your nervous system calm, flowing, and filtering to make it easier so you aren't already at a nine when the blips hit you throughout the day? I can tell you my routine, but sometimes I hit a nine. Okay? Nervous system work is not perfection. It doesn't prevent hitting a nine. It helps you see when you hit a nine and come back. Okay? So my routine is, I'm a very routine-oriented person. I get up, I drink coffee, I take a shower, I get myself ready every day, even Saturday and Sunday. When I'm moderating a call for Corinne, like the workshop, and she says, I bet Kathy's, up and dressed, she's right, because that's my routine. I read my little prayer book before I leave my office, and I take a walk. And then I come to my office and I start my day. As I have breaks through the day, I take walks. I get out in the sunshine. If this, even if the sun is not shining, I don't go out in the rain. Let's just be honest. But I get outside. I walk. I take deep breaths. And then at night, I have another routine. I put my pajamas on, I brush my mouth guard. I brush my teeth, I put my mouth guard in, I read my prayer book, I go to sleep. It's always the same. My body thrives on routine. It loves knowing those things that I'm going to do all the time, and that helps me manage my nervous system throughout the day. Jody wants to know, how do I get restarted? Lost 70 in 2020, regained 20 each year thereafter, and now back to 269. Doing GLP, and it stops the food chatter, but still not dropping weight. Lost maybe 20 pounds in 6 months. I want to lose by June for my daughter's graduation. Can't seem to put myself first and get my activity in. All right, so activity is optional. Putting yourself first is not. What does putting yourself first look like, and why aren't you doing it? If it looks like eating when you're hungry and stopping it enough, then you really need to dig in there. The GLP does not stop the food chatter. It helps slow it down and make it just a little bit quieter. So, are you listening? Are you paying attention to hunger and enough? Are you giving yourself the food your body needs because you're eating less? That's what you need to look at in order to continue to lose weight, whether you're on GLP or one or not, right? Did y'all notice that? Hunger and enough and eating foods that make your body feel good. Doesn't matter if you're on the meds or not. That's what you got to do. And then movement is optional. Movement makes your body feel good. Okay? I love all these nervous system questions. Y'all were ready for me. How do I stop my nervous system finding things to worry about when everything feels too quiet? That's Alyssa. That's your nervous system's job, right? This is what our nervous systems do, y'all. They constantly scan for danger. The term is neuroception. Do you know, remember Corinne talking about how the caveman, before he leaves the cave, he looks around to make sure there's no tigers, pumas coming? That's his nervous system. We have not evolved that far above it. Our nervous system is always wanting to ensure our safety. So it's always looking for a threat. So if one doesn't exist, it might go, hey, don't forget about this. This might happen. Don't forget about this. This might happen. It's your job with your conscious thinking brain to say, it's okay, nervous system. I don't need to worry about that right now. Thank you for your input. That's it. You don't want to turn your nervous system off. It's what keeps you safe. It's what protects you. It's what warns you when something's about to go awry. But sometimes it can just get a little, I don't know, itchy. And you have to calm it down. Sometimes it creates stress around something that's really not stressful that you can manage through if you use this beautiful conscious brain of yours, decisive thinking brain. Okay? Does that make sense, Alyssa? It's going to find things to worry about. That's part of our humanity. You just have to answer those things with, you know what? I don't think I need to worry about that right now. I think I'm going to be okay tonight. And if I'm not, I'm sure my nervous system will remind me tomorrow. How about that? Right? Five pillars. So there are what I call five core pillars of safety. They are the what I consider the basic needs of your nervous system to manage safety or to bring you back to safety. There's five of them. Okay, you ready? Sleep, just like basic human needs, 7 to 9 hours of sleep. Nutrition, giving your body foods that feel good, foods, water, things that help you poop, all those things. So we got sleep, we got nutrition, we have movement. I'm not talking about running marathons or working out or anything like that. I'm talking about just stretching your body, taking a little walk, oiling your joints, walking to the mailbox, maybe park a little bit further down in the parking lot if you can. If you're someone who can't move that easily, you can do chair movement. You can lift your arms up in the sky and stretch. You can twist your body a little bit. You can still move your body. Just movement helps keep those joints lubricated. Sunshine is a core pillar, and the last one is connection. And connection can take lots of forms. It can be a connection to a person, like your partner, your kids. It can be connection to a pet or an animal. Doesn't it feel good to have that dog lay its face on your leg and rub on that dog a little bit? It can be connection to a stuffed animal or a blanket, something that feels warm and fuzzy that you love having close to you. It can be connection to nature. Think about how good it feels to walk through the grass in your bare feet. It can be connection to a higher power. You ever walked into church and just sat down in the pew and just went, right? Because you have a connection to your higher power. So those are the five core pillars. If you practice those, I actually had a private client once who used to track on her daily plan how she got her pillars in. So I'll say them again: sleep, nutrition, movement, sunshine, connection. Okay? If you practice those each day, your body is going to feel better. Your nervous system is going to thank you. Cindy says, no question, just want to thank you for your story and your wise words. It helps so much to give our self-compassion and place to grow. You are welcome. Laura, you said something during yesterday's call about how we have thoughts that are subtly shady, that we're creating unsafe places in our mind. This resonated with me. Can you elaborate on how to create a safer place within my brain? Talk nicer to yourself. Give yourself compassion. Talk to yourself like you would talk to your best friend or your kids or your coworker. We are all the time as women trying to make other people feel better with our words. Let's do it for ourselves too. So if you're telling yourself, this came out of a call last night on the feelings call when I was talking to somebody who said she was lazy. How does it feel when you call yourself lazy? Not good, right? What if it doesn't it feel better to say, I gave myself the rest I needed? Just tweaking those words, putting a little compassion, self-compassion into your words is going to help you feel better. My son's girlfriend, who recently graduated with her PhD, got a job offer in Columbia, Missouri. Congratulations, Cynthia. They'll be relocating over the holidays. I'm excited for them and sad and worried all at the same time. My only child will be 600 miles away. Any suggestions for getting through this holiday season without going face down into the Christmas cookies? Yeah. Isn't this what you want for your child? Don't you want, son's girlfriend, and they'll both be going, don't you hope that they have a strong partnership that supports each other, that they are successful in their work and prosperous and happy? Even if it's 600 miles away, there's planes. Yes, she says, yes, I prayed for this. This is exactly what we want for our kids, right? When my boys are both married now, and I'm going to get emotional thinking about this. And it's not easy to watch your baby join to someone else. He doesn't need me anymore. He has Olivia. Greg has Grace. But how beautiful is that for them? Don't you want what you have or what you always wanted? Don't you want them to have what you have or what you always strive for? Look, tears. That's the best gift you can give them and yourself, is the comfort of knowing that he is taken care of. And so what? He's 600 miles. There's planes. There's trains. There's cars. There's phone calls. There's FaceTime. This is what you want for him. That's how you keep from going down in Christmas cookies. Okay. Melanie wants to know if I had any side effects. I am assuming you mean on the GLP. Yeah, probably the day or two after I take it, I'm a little nauseous, but it works itself out, especially if I go up in dose. After a few weeks, my body adjusts. I will say on the GLP, I have managed my dosage. I don't need some pharmaceutical company to tell me what my hunger enough and enough feels like, because on the GLP, I want to still experience hunger and enough, because I want to still teach myself how to work within those guidelines. So when I go up in dose, it's because I've requested it. And but when I do, I usually have a few little side effects at the beginning. But because I've managed it, and because I haven't, titrated up every month, I've been fine. Have been in no BS for over a year, have 25 pounds to lose, it's still there, trying to find enough, but I don't respect it. Ooh, Melissa, why don't you respect enough? Probably because I don't believe I can lose weight. But what if you were to believe, what if you were to, here's what I want you to say to yourself, Melissa. I want you to tell yourself, I'm working on losing weight. I'm working on the belief that I can lose weight. Instead of going, yeah, of course I can lose weight. Nobody believes that. I mean, think about it. If you're like me and you've been to Weight Watchers 47 times in your life and you've never been successful and you've done the keto and gained it all back and all that stuff, of course you're not going to believe it at first, but you're working on the belief, right? And if you tell yourself you're working on the belief that you can lose weight, it opens doors to curiosity, to finding enough, and figuring out why you don't respect enough. Okay? So I want you to work on that and take it to Ask Coaches and let me know what you think. Let me know what your what it opens up for you. Okay? It's taken 3 years to lose 20 pounds. I don't believe I could lose 10 pounds by New Year's. How could I change this belief? Same thing. Why not just set the goal and follow it up with your actions and follow it up with asking for help and digging in and figuring out what your root cause is? We could summarize the entire Q&A with this question, couldn't we? If you anonymous, if you set a 10-pound goal and you lost 4 or 3, wouldn't that be a win? What would you learn about yourself? If you set a 10-pound goal and you lost 3 pounds through the holidays, can you imagine what you would learn about your hunger and enough and your ability to handle the pressures of the holidays? Wouldn't that be amazing? You have to open yourself up to doing the work to see what you can learn so you can figure out how to apply it in the future. And to see some kind of success in how you showed up. How do I deal with my anger and enough? By not being very much. It's disappointment, isn't it? There is a part of you that loves eating past enough because it does something for you. It either distracts you or it gives you comfort or relaxes you or it allows you to procrastinate other work. Figure out why you are angry at enough. Okay? And that's what you go after. If you can find the reason that you're angry, that you have found you're enough, what is overeating giving to you that stopping at enough doesn't give you? Then I bet you can figure out how to lose weight and we can help you. I just heard you say that if you come back with 100%, then maybe your enough signals are off. How do we get over that or find different signals? You come to Ask Coaches, tell us what your signals are, and we challenge them. I'm going to tell you something. In Ask Coaches, we ask a lot of questions. We ask a lot of questions on purpose to make sure you are assessing what your body is telling you. Okay. So if you came to Ask Coaches and you told me your enough was a full feeling in your stomach, I would challenge that because that's not enough. If you came and said, my enough is when I finish my plate, I will challenge that because that's not what your body's telling you. You're relying on the plate to tell you what's enough. So that's how we poke at that in Ask Coaches. We help you figure out what your unique body signals are. Because what my signals are might not be what yours are. Corinne also gives you some ideas to test in this in the No BS Weight Loss course. There's a whole module on enough. And if you're still working on it, go back and listen to that module. Take notes, listen to it again, Practice. Think about what she tells you and see if that doesn't help. Jean wants to know, do I still walk to work? That's a great story too. Yes, when I talk about my morning walks, that's what I'm doing. I'm simulating back when I used to have my old job and I'd have to walk from the parking garage to the building. And gives me time outside, gives me time to think about my day, create space between just walking from one bedroom to another. Gets my body moving, gets my blood pumping. It's my walk to work. Yep, it's my 5 minute, out the driveway, around the cul-de-sac and back. It's part of what I do. It's part of my routine. Doing things that I'm going to do for the rest of my life sounds great, but then I feel like a failure when I don't do those things. What's a balanced way to look at this? Practice. Practice. You're not, Maria, you're not going to flip a switch. You have habits. Okay, you have habits that are well-worn paths in your brain. So without thinking, your habit cycle is going to activate and you're going to do the things that you've always done. It's your job to interrupt that habit or to see it coming or to plan to do something else and work and lean into the plan. You have to create new habits. I just lost my train of thought because I was looking at the chat. Let's say you're 50 years old. You have a 50-year-old habit. It's not going to change in a couple of months. You have to work at it. You have to practice and you have to have patience and persistence. My three favorite P words: practice, patience, and persistence. Because you are not going to do this perfectly. You're going to make mistakes, and it's your job to learn from them. What happened? There's a lesson in every overeat. Y'all write that down. There is a lesson in every overeat. And if you look at it, your overeat from a place of curiosity rather than a place that says, I'm a loser, I'll never get this, you're going to find the lesson. Okay? Trying to power through, get this done. Let's see. Julie, now that I am ever so close to my goal weight, I have loose skin. At 67, I feel like I've traded fat for old. What else can I say to myself? Girl, loose skin is my badge of honor. That's how I'm not a plastic surgery kind of girl. I'm not going to get filler. You're going to see all my wrinkles when I smile. I'm just working on being the person that I am, and that's going to include loose skin. Okay, especially I got it right here, y'all. Right here. I got it everywhere. But I would rather have loose skin than fat filling up that skin. So to me, that shows me that I've lost weight and I'm okay with that. I've decided that that's okay. Loose skin means there's no fat inside that skin. So there you go. My three Ps are patience, practice, and persistence. You can apply them to thought work about loose skin. You can apply them to mistakes, hunger, enough, all the things. So, Julie, that's how I look at it. I don't call, I'm, I, you are 67 years old. To an 80-year-old, you're young. To a 20-year-old, you're old. It's relative. If you think you're old, then you're going to act old. But if you think you're healthy, and that loose skin is your is the result of your weight loss. So what? So what? Right? Wouldn't you rather have loose skin? I would. 100%. Every day. Every day and twice on Sunday. Nancy thinks Nancy's 70. She'll think she's 25. I love it. Love it. Darcy. I have felt like eating more for the past few weeks, and it feels like it may be because weather is getting colder and darker in Michigan, probably. Maybe you're hibernating, right? Is it possible, likely, and do you have any suggestions to get away from it? You have, yes, it's probably primal instinct, but here's the thing. You said you felt like eating. Is that hungering enough, or is that comfort eating? See if you can pull those apart. Okay. I've felt like eating more the past few weeks, right? Maybe you are hibernating a little bit, but that's not a reason to eat. If you're staying between hunger and enough, then you should be okay. All right. Okay. Anonymous says, I asked a question and was coached about 6 months ago. I still have so much shame and embarrassment that I even asked a question. I cannot generally listen to that coach anymore, not at all because of her, but because not at all because of her, but because of me 100%. I tried to ask coaches, but the answers were so short that I gave up feeling like I was just wasting their time and I wasn't worth them taking the time to help me. Wow. Anonymous. That is not how we think about you at all. That's how you think about yourself. I want you to really hear that. Okay? We are asking you questions so that we can understand how to help you more, how to dig into your root cause. Okay? I know this is all me, but I've been very stuck ever since. Can you give me prompts to work through this? Yes. Here's the prompt I want you to ask. Would I seek help today if I were not embarrassed? Why or why not? Would I seek help today if I were not embarrassed? Why or why not? And I want you to answer that and ask coaches. I mean, obviously, I don't know which coach you talk to. But I can promise you this. There are five of us, including MJ, and we all are here because we love helping you. You are not a burden. You're not wasting our time. You're giving us purpose. You're giving us a reason, a person that we can serve. We are very service-oriented people, and we love that we can help you. So all those thoughts about what you're thinking about us is what you're thinking about yourself. So if you weren't embarrassed, would you seek help? Why or why not? Okay. I'm going to look for you and ask coaches. All right. I just found out yesterday that I'm heavier than my mother by 25 pounds. So what? She's always been more morbidly obese my entire life. Now I'm in that position. I'm not sure how to process that. So what? You have a weight and you have a goal. I want you to narrow it down to the facts, and then I want you to decide yourself your next step. It does not matter. I mean, my mother, I could say that about my mother my entire life, but I was also 5 inches taller than her, 4 or 5 inches taller than her. But you know, my mother was 5 foot 3, 120 pounds if she was overweight, and was that person who would forget to eat. I have never been that person. Never. Took after my dad. Okay. So comparing myself to my mother, trying to wear her clothes as a teenager, never helpful. But once I started thinking about my unique body, my needs, my weight, and how I wanted to address that, it was so much easier for me to take control. So I want you to think about it from that perspective. You have a weight, you have a goal, you have actions you can take. They are not dependent upon or relative to your mother. Okay? Can having a consistent routine for morning and night reduce the I am in a world of chaos feeling all the time? Yes. How would that extend to help with weight loss? Planning and assessing. Planning and assessing. So, if you have a routine to think about what you're going to eat through the day and then assess how it made you feel, it's going to work into your weight loss. If you have a routine of setting an intention to eat when you're hungry for lunch today, and you assess that intention at the end of the day, it's going to have an effect on your weight loss. So the answer is yes. My question to you would be, what do you think makes sense for you to add to your routines to support your weight loss? Lee wants to know, is your nervous system the same as the primitive brain or different? The nervous system includes all parts of your brain and your vagus nerve. So your primitive brain, which is the habit brain, is a part of your nervous system. Okay. Anonymous says, my husband has cancer and has upcoming scans and blood work. I can feel the anxiety already. I think of worst case scenarios, and I always think of how last year a virus landed him in the hospital with high fevers for about a week. I'm trying to be strong for him and my family. I try to remind myself that I need to remain in the present and enjoy him and my family. How do I force myself, don't force yourself, to slow down and self-care when all I seem to do is go nonstop? Here's what I'm going to tell you how I managed my cancer diagnosis. Every time anxiety would come in, I mean, is there anybody here who wouldn't have anxiety with a cancer diagnosis? I mean, if you are, I would be shocked. Okay. So whether it's yours or your husband's or loved ones, your brain is going to go, oh my gosh, what if I have to have surgery? What if I have to have chemo? What if my treatment plan takes me out of work for months at a time? What if, what if, what if, what if? Anxiety, right? I would actually pull out my pathology report and read it and say, these are the facts. This is what I know. Then I would pull out my treatment plan and I would read it. These are the facts. This is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to care for myself. You have to create certainty in the face of your worries. Because if you can create certainty, you will feel more controlled and you will feel more settled. Okay? It's hard to think that you're going to feel settled about a cancer diagnosis, but you will because you trust the care team, you know what's ahead of you, and you know that you're going to manage every step of the way. You have to talk to yourself in the present about how you're going to show up every day and manage what you need to do. Now, you have this additional input of this hospital stay, and you probably have other inputs. None of that matters today. Okay? That is a past circumstance that affects how you think of today. But if you tell yourself this is not the virus, we've gotten through that. Today, we're going to make sure that he's taken care of in these ways. Okay? If you need more help with that, let me know. All right. But that's how I managed my cancer diagnosis. Was I my surgeon took my pathology report and made notes on it. And I kept that thing right here on my desk. Every time I got upset, I would pull out her notes and I would see this is not just treatable, this is curable. I would see this word means this. That's good because of this reason. I would see we're going to do surgery, then we're going to do radiation. Then we're going to do hormone therapy. I would see those things and it would create certainty because I knew I was going to show up for myself to ensure my health the best I could. So that's how I want you thinking about this, okay? Especially when you get anxiety. I have 6 pounds to goal and have never lost more than 3 pounds in a month. Okay, I'm at 149, trying to get to 144. It sounds too daunting to me to lose the last 6 pounds before the end of the year. How do I get past that, or should I try? What feels possible, Tammy? Set your goal based on what you think is doable and what feels possible. Then wrap yourself with the action steps you know are going to be helpful to get to your goal. So for someone who is only has 5 pounds to lose, a 10-pound goal, probably not what you need to do. Make sure your goal is representative of what is doable and possible for you, and then go to work on it. Okay? Last question. Kimmy wants to know, can overeating release dopamine in your brain? I'm not going to say it's impossible. I'm going to say everybody's different. I think what overeating does is provide something for you that you haven't given yourself in a different way. So if overeating makes you feel safe or comforted or relaxed, I would ask myself, if food were not available to provide these feelings, what would I do? And see if you can find your dopamine release in another way. Just play with it. Experiment. Okay? Don't restrict. Just get curious and see how you can create a feeling of well-being in a different way. Okay? I feel like all foods are triggering me, and therefore I cannot stick to plan. I'm so tired of always thinking about and wanting food. Jane, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to the No BS Weight Loss course and print out the Quick Start Guide. If planning is triggering overeats for you, I want you to only write down what you do eat and whether or not you're following hunger in enough. I want you to scale it back just a little bit and see if that teaches you anything. All right? And hit us up and ask coaches and let us help you. Think about what's creating these urges for you and whether the plan is triggering you or if it's something else. Okay. Joan says, still in awe of you and your coaching. Thank you, Joan. I keep you in my prayers always. Well, what a beautiful way to end this. Thank you all. Thank you so much for being here, for listening to me for an hour and 16 minutes. It has been my pleasure to be here with you. I love doing these calls and I love being with you. And if I can do anything for you, you can find me in Ask Coaches. You can find me in the Facebook group. You can find me in the private coaching. You can find me on the How to Feel the Hard Stuff calls every month. You want to know more about the nervous system? Go onto the website and put Kathy with a K in the search. All of my feelings calls will come up and let me know what you think is helpful and what you want more of. Okay. All right, everybody, have a beautiful day. Get some sunshine today. All right. Take care. Bye.